Morning, brethren. Good to see y'all. Chick, how much time do I have, roughly? Okay, sounds good. Yeah, so even while I was waiting on the Lord, there's just one thing that did kept coming to my mind. And I'll share with you kind of how I came to these things. But so five words. Let it rather be healed. It's a verse found in Hebrews chapter 12. And I'll share with you kind of how this kind of came to me. So many of you would know Lester Gingrich and many of his struggles he's been through. And one Saturday, I went with him to help him at the market. And he was sharing different things with me, especially on the way back. Some of you would know Willis Martin, I think from Berea. I think he was ministering to Lester, and he was asking him many questions. And then Lester kind of asked me what my thoughts were on what Willis, the advice or something that he had given him. And it resonated in my own heart, and I'll share this a little bit so you kind of get where I'm coming from. So maybe some of you would know Lester, he's been through, like some of his depression, he's been through it more than once. At least twice that I know of, maybe even more. And so Willis started asking about different things about his life, even his growing up years, and even asked him about his relationship with his father. And there was different things he had with his father. But I think the first time he went into his depression, when he got saved, he was preaching, and he had many spiritual kind of those who were over him, and I think they started putting him down, speaking things against him. And what he started to do is he just started to look inwardly at all his own faults and failures. And he just kind of went as a downward spiral. And some of you, as the Lord brought him out, and this last time we had with the whole church situation that went on, don't need to go into detail about that, but again, he shared some things, how he had people who were somewhat over him, who had spoken things, said things to him, people maybe that they looked up to, that were not good and that were not right. And instead of acknowledging these things, Lester, he just sort of just looked inwardly at his own faults and failures, and maybe just the weakness of his mind or his own, like there's certain things that we're all tempted to, and the devil just obviously just feeds on him, and he just started going down spiraling, just looking inwardly at all his own faults and failures. And things that Willis shared with me, shared with Lester, I don't remember everything he shared. But that night, I was just meditating on things that that Lester was sharing, what Willis had shared with him. And that night, I received a dream. And in this dream, there's a sister that I know. And the Lord was seeking to bring something out in her life, something that happened to her, and to want to deal with it. And in her heart, or what she started to resist and saying, no, I just want to forget about it. And as she was doing that, five words came to me that the Holy Ghost gave me in my dream were these words: let it rather be healed. And all of you, I'm sure you've gone through circumstances in your life. People have wronged you, whatever it would be. Like I said, church circumstances, and you're hurt. And sometimes you don't know what to do with it. And sometimes, let's say we could be this way, where especially when something really happens at first, let's say someone really wrongs you. It's really grievous, especially right at first, right? It's like you've been wounded badly. In some ways, you kind of almost just push it off to the side. But I'm sure maybe you've ever had this, but it keeps resurfacing. Do you know what I mean? Like it's at first, it's really bad, and it slowly gets a little better. The wound isn't as bad, but things keep happening in your life. And just keeps popping up. Sure, maybe if you know what I mean. Or you could even be struggles you have with a brother or a sister, right? Like, things in the heart. And it's never really dealt with. It's never really gone, if you know what I mean. And the Lord would have you come to a place, I put it this way, that you're healed. It's gone. If I put it this way, the sting is no longer there. And I'll share with you two things the Lord has done in my own life. I had someone, probably like one of my best friends, and he was a brother in the church too, so would have seen him regularly too, where he took advantage of me financially and he falsely accused me. And he's like one of my best friends. And I felt like he just took a knife and just stabbed me right in the back. I honestly, I felt like the Lord in Psalm 55, how he said, if it had been an enemy, I could have borne it. But it was thou, a friend, mine equal, and we went to the house of God in company. And that's honestly how I felt like. We went to the same congregation. Yes, I tell you, that was such a struggle for me. And I must have struggled with it at least for a year. And then every time I saw the person and an interaction, I could never be myself. You know, it's always like I was shut up. And so one time, I got really desperate. Like I said, I must have struggled with it at least for a I must have struggled with that at least for a year. And I got desperate before the Lord, and I brought it before him. And what the Lord did for me in a moment's time, I can honestly say this, he healed my heart, where I went from a place of woundedness to a place of compassion, because I realized this. Okay, let's say one of your best friends does this to you, and they know it. And they don't even seek to make it. They don't make it right. The Lord is just showing me that this person wasn't in a good place themselves spiritually. But the Lord did that for me. I can, even though it's never been, if I put it this way, never been dealt with on their end. But I'm free. So even this thing that happened, because sometimes you can have these memories of things that happened, even church life too, and it always, in a sense, bites you. It has this thing. It's never really gone. But now, I'm free. In Luke chapter 4 here, it's interesting, when the Lord, when he was beginning of his ministry, he said here in, I'll just quote it to you, Luke, or I'll read to you, Luke 4:18. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And I'm going to read to you this definition of bruised, and you'll get an idea of what the Lord is saying here. So the word bruised, hurt or damaged by a heavy blow, contused, with skin crushed and discolored, crushed, battered, dinted, crushed, small, braid, pounded. So you get this idea. Even say it says, talks about as a mortar is braid in a pestle. Like you get this idea, someone's in a pestle and they're just ground to powder. Where you've been in a circumstance and you've just been grounded. And see, it's interesting how he says, just set at liberty them that are bruised. Because you can have this where things happen to you and it puts you in a prison. You know what I mean? And you're just shut up. You just can't be yourself. You're not free. And the Lord came to set you free. And I remember another circumstance I had with another brother. And I was hurt by something as well. And it's interesting. The Lord set me free. I was in the bathroom in our meeting house. I was using the bathroom. And I was just praying to the Lord about it, because I was struggling with it. And the Lord spoke to my heart, said, Aaron, this person has wounds themselves. I said, okay, Lord. But I don't want to struggle with this anymore. And boom, it's gone. It's just, the Lord just took it away. It's not always that it comes that easy. But even the Lord said too, right? Come unto me, what? All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's interesting, even talks about how the faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And I'll show you something, Lord, open my understanding to, that faith and coming to Jesus are one and the same. I read to you here in John 6, verse 37. Jesus says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him to me I'll always cast out. Sorry, I meant verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So if a person believes on the Lord Jesus, it says he'll never thirst. Now I read to you John chapter 7 and verse 37. And that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. So he says one thing. First he says, believing, you won't be thirsty. And one, he says, if you come, you won't be thirsty. And often I talk to a lot of people, and sometimes they ask them how they're doing spiritually, and sometimes they put it this way, that they're drying. And you know why that is? It's because they're not coming enough. Right? It says, Scripture says, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And it's beautiful how the Lord has created it. You can't get saved by yourself. You need to come to him. And you can't live this life without him. You need to come to him continually for all your needs. And I'm going to read to you here something that we all know. I have a question for you. Is the word of God true?
Yes.
Is the word of God true?
Yes, brother.
Amen. Romans 8:28. We all know this. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I can honestly say that too. Everything I've faced has been for my good. Even this situation with this brother worked for my good. And it's interesting, you know why? In some ways, I'm like this brother. And you know what the Lord is showing me? I don't want you to be like that. Interesting, even in this, the circumstance, or even that, this everything that happened with the congregation, at one point, I literally felt like my heart was just being ripped to pieces. That's how I felt. It was a real struggle. I mean, just pain on the inside, like just being ripped to shreds. But I can honestly say, by the grace of God, it worked for my good. Not because it was good what happened, but the Lord was just showing me more things in my own heart and life. Aaron, yeah, these things, even these things that these people have done, in some ways I'm like them, Aaron. Just cleansing me of these things, don't be like this. And I'm going to share with you another thing. See, here's a problem. That's a promise of God that all things work together for good, but have you ever found that sometimes Christians go through things and it doesn't work for their good? You ever found that? And why is that? Is the word of God not true? And I'll kind of partly what I shared already, but I'll share it with you here. In Romans chapter 5, I'm going to read to you a few verses here. You got everything going for you. Verses 1 to 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So first of all, if you're a child of God, right now, you have peace with God. Hallelujah. Amen. Your sins are forgiven. So right now, you're in a beautiful state. And then he says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So one, you've been made in a right relationship with God. Now you have access. You can come and get whatever you need. It says you have access to get this grace. And it talks about, even at the end of chapter 5, it says grace that which reigns over sin, right? So you have access to come and get the grace that you need to overcome in your life. It says, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So you have your set right, you had access to get what you need, and you had hope for the future. Praise the Lord. And also he says, and not only so not only are these three things, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations work with patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So like, you got everything going for you. You're made right with God. You have access to come get what you need. You have hope for a bright future. And even now, the things that are working, things that are happening in your life, are working for your good. Praise the Lord. But see, part of the reason why it does sometimes doesn't work for Christians good is because of verse 2. It's because they don't do this. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace. They don't come and get the grace they need. That's why it doesn't work for their good. But even say the circumstance where my one of my best friends and the church situation. Because I wanted to respond rightly. Like, I was struggling on the inside. But I kept coming, and the Lord gave me what I needed. And sometimes, I'm going to share with you too, that sometimes just how the Lord works in our life, and sometimes the Lord works in our, well, works in our life, and we kick and we buck against it, and we don't receive what God wants to give us. It's going to minister grace to us, for whatever being, our pride, whatever it be. And you know how the Lord does sometimes, doesn't? It's through the church. And I'll read to you a verse. It talks about the gifts of the body. Ephesians 4, verse 16 says, From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It says that by which every joint supplies. And it can be, I'll give you a challenge to you, brother. Let's say even some of you have been walking with the Lord a little bit longer. Let's say now if you have a young brother who's, it's just interesting, just speaks something into your life. And you're more mature, you have more knowledge. Yes, amen. But you know what? Maybe the word of God came to you and you resisted it. It's what God wanted to give you, but you said no. I appreciate what Zach Kuhn one time said. He said, let's say if you got dirt on your face. If Ephraim here says, hey, Aaron, Mr. Nelson, you got some dirt in your face. Don't tell me, I know. Well, I didn't see it. Thanks, Ephraim. Praise the Lord. I didn't wash off my face. And sometimes it can be this too. I remember I had an incident where a brother spoke something into my life. He came to me during foot washing and he shared something with me. And I had to kind of smile, chuckle at myself, and I thought, look at all these things in your own life, you know what I mean? But you know what's funny? He was right. And could I be because of my prejudice, or even what I think of this brother, that things in this life, I don't receive it, but it was true. And even I know when we've been praying about even moving to Mexico, and even interesting, in our brother's meeting last, my brother Henry was there, and Willie Croker, and they shared something, and it just so resonated in my heart, and I said, amen. But two things I'll share with you with this, too, is, see, sometimes, though, too, people can also speak things into your life that are not true. I'm sure you've had that, too. But what you need to do is, I appreciate this, I heard this from Fred Tomlinson. It says, every true teacher or preacher will lead you to the inward teacher. I'm sure you've had that. Let's say if someone's preaching or whatever, someone speaks into your, speaking something, and inwardly, there's this testimony. That's true. I'm sure you know what I mean. There's something just within record. Sometimes, you don't even know how to put it into words, and then someone says, like, yeah, like, amen. That's the truth. That's how it is. And there's actually a verse in Psalm 15 that says, talks about, who shall stand in the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? And in verse 2 it says, he that speaketh the truth in his heart. So you can have this where the Lord sometimes speaks to you something, but inwardly, you're like, no, I can't be that. No, I don't receive that. See, you're not speaking the reality of what's really in your life. Do you have a humble heart that, you know what? Yeah, you're right. You know, this brother, Lord, what do you think of this, what this brother has said? And it's true. But also on the flip side, I think, like with listening to the inward teachers, like sometimes things that people speak into your life, they're not true. Like I've had this, and you know, encouraged my wife for this too. So she went through something that even a sister who was a lot older than her in the faith, I had this too, someone older than me in the faith, and they spoke something to my heart, or they spoke something to my life, and just bring it before the Lord, and I honestly had to reject it. I couldn't receive it. How many of you ever read Asia Harvest? A few of you. It's interesting, brother Paul Hathaway. He had this brother. He wasn't a brother, but he was kind of a, I think he was an ungodly man. But he spoke something to Paul, and in a sense, he received it, and it brought him under bondage because he put himself under something that was actually of the devil. But he put himself under bondage because he received something that wasn't from God. And I've had this before too. Or even you do something just because of somebody else, but it's not from the Lord. And so just be weary of that if someone speaks something to you, that even if you bring it before the Lord and have an honest heart. And sometimes it can create a struggle. I know it has with others. You know, someone spoke something to my wife, in a different place, an older sister who has a reputation, but I had to encourage my wife and said, honey, you need to reject that. It's not true what they said. Now, I can totally say it's not of the Spirit of Christ, so you need to reject it. Because it brought her under bondage. So just being as you go on with the Lord, just being watchful of such things. And so with what I was encouraging you with, I want to read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. I'll read to you verse 8 and 9. Speaking of the Corinthians, I'll read you start in verse 6, just get a context. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, the Corinthians, so that you become come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So God's faithful, going to make you blameless, confirm you, strengthen you. It's interesting, he says, God is faithful, by whom you're called into the fellowship of the Son. So a means by which, or the means, or a means for sure, by which you're going to be made blameless, is having fellowship with the Lord. See, it's like this life of fellowship in the Garden of Eden. Yeah, God walked in the garden of the cool of day. He just wanted to fellowship with Adam. And I have shared this before, but I'll share it to you. I think I haven't shared it here before. Well, obviously I haven't been here before, but in 1 John chapter 1, let's just read here in verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with him, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. In chapter 2 of verse 1, it says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. You see, having a living relationship with the Lord Jesus will keep you from sinning. It's just how it is. And I'm going to share with you, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. This is the will of God for all of you in our life. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. The will of God for you in your life is in every circumstance that comes across your life, you're victorious. That's right. It's the will of God. And I can honestly say, by the grace of God, I've been perfect. That's honestly, I can say that God has always, always led me into victory. All the time. And it's the truth, brother. It's the truth. It's the word of God. God will lead you into victory if you access the grace. And that all things will work for your good if you respond rightly. And it's interesting in Joshua chapter 1, what did the Lord say to him? Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon shall be yours. Every place. Not almost all of them. Every place. Do not rest content with defeat. Sorry, it's just interesting, even like Elisha the prophet. But you know what I'm speaking of. When I think was it the king of Israel, something came to him. He talked about the king of Syria, and he says, you should take these arrows and smite them to the ground. He smote three times, and he said, you should have smitten like four or five times. He would have been utterly wiped out. And that was the spirit of the man of God. Do not accept defeat. And it's the children of Israel, land of Canaan. It says, every place, he says, but they're strong, they're chariots of iron. He says, thou art our mighty people. Go up and take them. And it's the will of God. And then at times, like, there's a verse, Psalm 105 says, seek the Lord and his strength. And I'm sure you've had this too. You felt the Lord spoke something to your heart or whatever it would be, and you feel you lack the strength to do it. I'm sure you could all testify to that. You feel like you don't have it within you. That's right, you don't. But the Lord does, and you come and get it. And I'd encourage you to some things don't always come easy right away, and even some of these giants in the land of Canaan, they didn't come, they weren't all defeated right away. You know, we get this picture of prayer, the Lord gives in Luke 11 and Luke 18 about this widow, and just that you just keep coming. And I remember my wife too, maybe some of you would remember, she had a sickness, and before she was healed, there was at least one sister who told us, you know what, Susie, this might just be something you might have to deal with all the rest of your life. I think Martin, maybe before that, he had preached a message on healing. And somehow me and my wife, it just didn't sit right. And I remember even many times my wife, not so much because of her sickness, she did before she was healed though, I fasted and prayed about it, and I just bring it before the Lord, you know, like if this is what Paul said, you know, this is for my glory, you know, for the firmness of Christ. I said, okay, Lord, then I'll bear it. But every time I sought the Lord, I fasted and prayed about it, the Lord always confirmed it to my heart and to my wife's heart. It was His will to heal my wife. And praise the Lord, He did it. And she's set free. And so if the Lord always were to speak to your heart, this is for my glory. Yeah, then you could somehow just make it totally different. It's for him, right? You know what I mean? You could have the grace. But somehow just didn't sit right. And because we just felt that assurance in our own hearts that God wanted to do this work. And so we kept seeking the Lord, and eventually he did. And it was things in my own wife's heart that even leading her on in faith, and even things in the church as well, and he did it. So I'd encourage you to don't rest content with defeat. And I'll close with you the verse here in Luke chapter 12. He says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." That's what God desires of you. Don't be afraid. It's the will of God. He wants to give it to you. Because then it brings glory to Him, right? And then we can testify of His grace in our lives. And I just encourage you to do that. Something even, I'm not sure if I have time, but I guess I will. To share with us singing here this morning, something I was really blessed by, just the love of God being ministered afresh to my heart. I think it is with Jacob and Laban. I can't remember where it is. I looked quickly when I was sitting down, I couldn't find it. I think it was with Laban and Jacob. He says, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. What are you doing standing without? What doest thou standing without?" And if I could put this, could you receive that for yourself? That's the Lord's heart for you. Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. What are you doing standing without? Come in. Could you receive? Like, even, I know, sometimes it's interesting how you can all testify how sometimes you need the grace of God to be ministered afresh to your heart over and over again. I know I have. And it's ministered to my heart, and it's just give me grace that I needed. Could you receive it? That's a Father's heart to you. Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. And that's going to be His will for you when you pass away then. Come in. Just come right on. And He says, you know, in 1 John, He says, "Behold what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us." What? "We should be called the children of God." All of you who have children. If your child was seeking to do please you, would you cast your child out? Like, come on. Like your child was seeking to please you and do you well, would you cast them out? Like, come on. If your child was seeking to please you, and even if they fumbled and they're "Oh daddy, I'm trying," like, come on. You know what I mean? Like, please. Right. And so that's the Father's heart for us. And if you need grace, you're struggling. I tell you, I need it so often. He says, "Come right on." So I wish the Lord bless you.